You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, still sick. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, October 3rd, episode 3789, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
Well, we're glad you're here, everybody. And Jamie, I'm glad you're here, but I've nicknamed your illness, by the way, since Wednesday.
Okay.
I'm calling the chocolate flu.
What do I have, Glenn?
The chocolate flu. You have the chocolate.
That sounds about right. As much chocolate as I had.
I was talking to some of my friends.
I'm still fighting the chocolate flu. It's actually worse today. But I was talking to some friends, you know, before I was leaving, and I've kind of had like a fairly stressful couple of weeks. And she was like, just go and just eat all the chocolate. Don't care. Just put your worries aside, eat all the chocolate and do all the things. And I did that. And now I have the chocolate flu. So.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and I want to make it a point before somebody complains that I've forced you to work. I gave her the option of working today or not. So.
Yeah, exactly. When he was like, I had to do Monday's show by myself.
I texted her last night. I said, are you sure? Because I could have gotten somebody else.
But, yeah. I'm okay. I remember DayQuil is my friend, and I will tell you that I'm dosed up fairly good, so I'm good.
Well, we have a policy of not talking about deaths on Friday's show, but I feel we need to mention Jane Goodall. She did pass away yesterday, and when we get back from our break, I'm going to put a little section together on her because I think she deserves that. But I did want to mention it because I know you all would probably wonder if we didn't. So,
she is one of the probably most influential people to me, and it was heartbreaking to read about it, but I feel confident that her message will carry on. Like one of the quotes that she did, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, changed the person that I am. And what she said, her quote was, the least I can do is speak for those that can't speak for themselves. And so I, in my head all the time when I see things happening in front of me where I can speak for those who can't speak for themselves, she's always in my head. And I hear that all the time. And I certainly have gotten myself into some trouble following the message of Jane Goodall, but I feel confident in doing it.
Well, that's
as
kind of
who
what your
I
life's
am,
work
you know,
is now, right?
So it is. Yeah. It is. And she has been a super important person in my psyche. Like the more you learn about her and the more you know about her, the more you have to love her, even though she's a world away, just somebody who really affected me. So you guys remember, the least you can do is speak for those who can't speak for themselves. And that is a direct quote from Jane Goodall.
Rest in peace, Jane. We'll be off next week. I'll be in New Mexico, and Jamie will be teaching her clinic, which we'll talk a little bit about later. And we have some fun new shows planned for you that we recorded earlier, so we don't have any best ofs for you next week. It'll be a whole week of brand new shows. And in better news, everybody now sends me all the study show that they see. And it's not time for study show, but I had to go over this one because it's so important. A recent study challenges the idea of ice cream as only an indulgence, finding that moderate consumption may provide heart protective benefits.
Oh my God. Ice cream is bad for you. Ice cream's good for you. Ice cream will ruin your heart. Well, ice cream will fix your heart.
This is out of Quantum Science magazine, of all things. Researchers stress that it isn't a license for daily desserts, but a reminder that balance matters. In the right context, even ice cream can complement a healthy lifestyle. Now, I'm throwing out the balance matters and, you know, doing it and taking it out of context. And I'm just saying three scoops a day is what they're recommending here. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, wow. Talk about the chocolate flu. You'll have the ice cream flu.
I could eat three scoops a day very easily. I don't, but I could. Ice cream is my indulgence, but apparently it's good for you, everybody. So you can have that with your coffee, because I think last month we determined coffee was good for you again. So,
well, I've learned about a new coffee, something that has changed my life, and I would like to share it with you because, okay, Glenn, you're not really a coffee drinker,
coffee.
Are you?
No, I don't drink coffee.
I am going Jennifer to does. Teach you. I'm going to show you the way. Okay. I learned what an affogato is. Do you know what an affogato is?
No idea.
It is, we were standing outside of going into the park in Montana before before we drove into Yellowstone, and they have a little coffee shop. And I was like, let's go in the coffee shop. And it was a coffee and ice cream place. And they had an affogato on the menu. And what that is you pick ice cream. I went with vanilla, and they take a couple scoops of vanilla and put them in a see-through cup. And then they poured over the ice cream, two shots of espresso, and it like kind of like melted into the ice cream and made like a,
so it's
ice
kind of
cream
like a root
chunky
beer float
soup
made with coffee.
It's an espresso float. Oh my God. I now have ice cream in my freezer. I never keep ice cream because I eat it all the time. But now I'm like, in the morning, I'm like, you want some coffee, hon? He's like, sure. And I'm like, would you like an affogato? Yes, I would. Oh my God, it's
my
the greatest
dad's
thing ever.
My favorite ice cream was coffee ice cream. That was his favorite
ice
cream.
Oh, no. Done. No, you have to have actual ice cream and then pour espresso over it.
That, so you know, good. That may mellow it out enough that I could do it.
It's so delicious. Anyway, there you go. You mentioned ice cream and you mentioned coffee. Study show. Yeah, avocados.
Right. Gotta have
do
both.
All the things.
All right, let's do some daily winnies now that everybody in the world's happy. So we have three auditor birthdays this weekend: Laura Bannon, Starbright Cinema, and Jess Seaver. And I got to tell you a funny story. So I was looking at the birthdays, and one of my other friends, so Starbright was on the list. One of my other friends is Forrest, and he was having a birthday. And then we got an email from Evergreen today. So it was a day for names for me this morning. I just love all of those names. So we went back to nature today. Your turn.
Well, right now, my husband is out with the paint sprayer spraying fences. He's painting fences black that are boards that have been broken by multiple horses that then he replaces and aren't painted. Oh, and yeah. So I have this like piecemeal, you know, some boards are not painted, some boards are painted fence line. And so my husband's out painting fences right now. So
he's
my daily winnie.
Or a sprayer?
He has a sprayer thing, yeah. But then what happens is the sprayer clogs and then he cusses and right. He swears and he works for hours to unspray it and ends up hand painting. So he's at the point in the morning now where he's working on the sprayer. But the point is, he is kicking butt trying to get my farm ready for the clinic. And I just really appreciate it. You should have heard the 7 hours of cussing with the weed eater yesterday, which is now in the shop. I tell him, I'm like, the more stuff you have, the more stuff you have to take care of.
I got to tell you, my whole summer's been nicer because of my ego weed eater that I talked about on the show. It just works. It's so nice. And loading it takes me 2 seconds.
I'll have to get some more information because he has the gas-powered one.
Oh, no. Ego. It's so nice. I can weed whack an hour on a battery. It's so good. Hey, speaking of the clinic, so what do you guys do? This is 2 weeks long. It's the intro clinic for Monty Roberts that you teach at your farm. So what do you do? I know you probably do join-ups, the first thing, right?
Well, yeah. So no, the first thing is, I have a very structured syllabus that we go through, and every single day has the things and tasks we have to complete, and it builds.
Can I stop you right there? I'm going to interrupt you. Did you ever in your life think you would be teaching off a syllabus?
No.
The two people on this call that never went to college.
I did one semester, so there you go.
And look at you teaching syllabuses now.
I know. It's amazing. So the people all show up on Sunday, and then, you know, four people are staying in Ginger's house, and I'm like, y'all can stay in Ginger's house. It's like summer camp. Four single beds now. I used to have two, and now I've crammed it into
Ginger
four.
Ginger has to watch the farm when you're away and put up with people while you're home.
Yeah. It was a thing. When she moved in, I was like, okay, you can move in, but 2 weeks every October, there's going to be people living with you. She's like, okay, doesn't care. She's awesome. But so the clinic is basically the first half of almost every day is in the classroom. So I have lectures and teaching, and it's, you know, basically going through horses from, you know, through evolution all the way up to now, and using kind of like Monty's nonviolent concepts to train the horses, but not only to teach them things, to teach them the kind of the whole idea is, how can I make this horse want to do this, as opposed to how can I make this horse do this? So it's all nonviolent training philosophy. We work on equine communication. We learn how horses talk. And then we go in the afternoons, and it's just horse training until we're all finished. And this year, usually I have four people in each course. This year, I have seven people in this course. And that is a lot. So I've actually am flying in an intern. Yeah, I have an intern coming from Monty's place. So Debbie, I was like, Debbie, I need help. Send me somebody. So she's sending me a sweet little Austrian girl who's 20 years old. And she gets here on Saturday, and she's going to stay for 3 weeks and intern with me and help me teach the course. And, you know, like, I'm like, you're going to have to like muck stalls and just go get horses and do all. She's like, okay, great. You know, the perfect 20-year-old Austrian young lady, which is cool. Cause actually for the second and third week, Anna's coming back. Anna from Germany, my exchange student. So she's coming back.
Oh,
so she's going
to
have,
so excited.
Oh my God, she's so excited. But I'm like, you're going to have a friend in the house, because there's going to be somebody else from Europe in the house here. And, you know, so it's going to be super great. All these people, I've talked to a lot of them. I've talked to all of them multiple times, and they're all really excited to come and learn. I've actually got one guy from Oklahoma. I've got a couple people, three people flying in from California. Colorado's coming. Nebraska's coming. It's going to be awesome. Okay. So it's really fun. And again, you make friends for life when you come here, and because it's like adult summer camp. It's like grown-up summer camp. You know, you're in a bunkhouse and you're playing with horses all day. It's super fun. So I'm excited for everybody to come in and get it started. There's so much prep work. So I have, Glenn, I have horses coming out of my ears, because seven students requires at least probably 14 trained horses. So I have four horses that have come in from Horse and Hound. I have two that have come in from a friend. I have two more that are coming in this weekend from a friend, and then all of mine together. I mean, I'm like, I don't know where
to
put them all.
Are you borrowing a neighbor's farm?
There's horses everywhere. They're everywhere. So
it's
going.
This is Chad's least favorite 2 weeks of the year.
I mean, there's so many horses. He's like, I'm going to work. And he's going on a 4-day trip.
Playing golf every day.
Yes, exactly. And Lucas is on fall break for most of this too. So I'm like, dude, I'll see you in about 8 hours.
Entertain yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, can I tell you how proud I am of you?
Why?
You and I have, think about when we started this show. You and I have come a long way. Both of us have come a long way since we started this show. I mean, you hadn't even dreamed of doing any of this when we started this show.
No.
This wasn't even a dream. It wasn't even in your radar.
It wasn't. And I remember when I did that first Monty Roberts, I did the Gentling Wild Horses course. And I was like, oh my God, I just want to learn more. And when I went back to another course, Debbie was like, you should get, you know, certified. I'm like, I don't take tests. Sorry. Like, I don't do that. And she just kept encouraging me. And then I was like, okay, well, I do want to take the advanced course, but the advanced course you can't take till you pass the intro course. So then I was like, all right, Give me the manual.
I remember flashcards. You bitching about the manual on this show.
500 pages of all things horses. She says that, you know, getting certified is like getting your master's in horsemanship and horses. Because, I mean, the manual covers everything, nose to tail, inside and out.
If you're a brand new listener, Jamie can whine with the best of them. And she was whining about that manual the entire time she was doing it.
But I also got it done. So
you did, and you passed.
There's that. And I passed, and then I took the advanced course, and I was like, that's it, I'm done. I'm not taking the advanced exam, because that is like, is intense. And she just kept encouraging me, and you were like, do it. And Chad was like, why wouldn't you do it? Just do it.
You went all this way,
all this far. So I did it and passed, and then I did my internship, and here we are. Now, things are a little different now. They don't actually have, you don't have to do an internship afterwards, but they've added intermediate courses. So you've got the intro course. Once you pass the intro exam, you can take some intermediate courses. Now they work on course hours. So you can kind of go back and learn, like, I really want to be good at trailer loading, or I really want to understand this better or this better. And so they've added intermediate courses, and then you pass the advanced and then you're done. So there's no internship at the end of it, which was probably the most challenging for most people to be able to do that. So yeah, and I encourage anybody to do it, and I'll tell you why, because I turn away business all the time and typically have, you know, this whole time I've had a 6-month waiting list, and people send me horses from all over the country. So I'd really like some of you to get certified, so to take the load off, because I'm kind of semi-retiring at this point from all that, because I don't have Farm Boy anymore. So yeah.
Until she finds a new one.
There is no more Farm Boys. They don't make them anymore.
No, you got lucky with your first one. You did.
I know. He's, I miss him.
Well,
come back.
I'm excited for all of you, and good luck to all 7 of you taking the course next week.
Yeah. And you know what's amazing is I think only one of them listens to the podcast. So none of them actually listen to the show, which is going to be fantastic.
Well, they have no preconceived notions of Jamie.
Exactly.
Is your horse suffering from digestive tract issues such as diarrhea, colic, or hindgut imbalances? Do they need a high-grain diet? Are they under stress? Well, Nalox Advanced can help. Nalox Advanced is a scientifically formulated blend of ingredients that works to maintain a healthy stomach, small intestine, and hindgut. It contains long-acting gastric buffers and coating agents to maintain a normal stomach pH. It provides an effective probiotic to support complete digestion of starch and sugars in the foregut, helping maintain a healthy hindgut. And it supplies broad-spectrum prebiotics to sustain a healthy balance of beneficial microbes and well-balanced microbiome. For more information, visit kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. Well, coming up, our guest today is Dr. Bedore, and she is Associate Professor of Practice at Virginia Tech, right, Dr. Bedore?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And so what does that mean, Associate Professor of Practice?
So that means that I'm not on the tenure track, essentially, which the adding on of practice just means that I spend a little bit more time in the classroom with students. I do a lot of academic advising, and I'm supposed to engage with the industry a little bit more than my tenure track colleagues, which are supposed to do a little bit more research.
Okay, so a lot.
Well, you're engaging with the industry
right now.
I am.
So that's why, Jamie, when I write to all these doctors who never get back to me, the first question should be, are you tenured and will you respond? Now I know the trick.
Gotta get the hungry ones.
Yes, I need to look for of practice at the end. All right.
Or
I learned
something
today.
Clinical track.
There you go.
Well, Dr. Bedore, you just saved me a lot of time. I'm writing thousands of emails. You did an article for our sister publication, Equus Magazine. We're owned by the same company. And of course, everybody knows what Equus Magazine is if you have had a horse. Mm-hmm. And you did this article that we did Poop Week a couple weeks ago and talked about pasture management. But you did an article on a study about dry lots. Or we're in an article about a study about dry lots. And that's why I wanted to get you back, because a lot of us do have dry lots for various reasons. But tell us, why did you do a study on dry lots? What motivated that?
So most, as I said, I'm supposed to engage with my students more than some of my tenure track colleagues. And this, everything that I do research-wise is really going to be driven by the questions that my students ask And so at the time I was at Ohio State and I was in the classroom and I had them doing a facility management plan. It's very standard class. Most equine students are going to take equine facility management. And they were writing a pasture management plan. And I told them they had to include a dry lot in their pasture rotation plan. And they asked me a question, how big should the dry lot be? I didn't have an answer.
How many horses can I put out there?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. They didn't, they stared at me. I stared at them and I said, well, let's, as a scientist with academic, you know, I'm an academic scientist too. I said, well, let's just go to the literature and see what we can find. And we pulled up Google Scholar. We couldn't really find, we couldn't find a published article that had like good recommendations. And so then we went to Extension and we thought, well, maybe somebody's post, maybe there's an article somewhere with any, literally anything. And the only thing we could find was an Extension article that said, you know, the smallest amount of space a horse should be given is the size of a box stall.
Okay, well, you know, that's helpful.
It's helpful, right? Yes. And I said, but if I'm going to put like four horses together, I don't feel like I should just take the center partitions out and call it good. I feel like I'm a horse person and a scientist, and I feel like that's bad. That's not enough room for them to get away from each other when there's conflicts over food.
Well, you know, that was that was what I found interesting about your study is the study didn't go in. This had nothing to do with feeding or obviously with pasture management. Mm-mm. It's keeping the grass green, right, and all of that. This had nothing to do with that. This study was how many horses can I put in a certain amount of space without them killing each other and, you know, without them totally stressing out. And we've all dealt with this, right? So,
yes.
So you ended up doing the study.
We did, yeah. So they said, can we do it? And I said, sure, let's do it. So we did a few students that stuck around. They live locally. So we spent some time thinking about how we would do it. We engaged with other faculty members at Ohio State. And I was at ATI, which is about 90 miles north of the main campus. So we had other teaching faculty that got involved. Lots. We had people willing to just sit in chairs and observe and maintain, you know, like be there in case something, you know, a horse needed to be pulled out of the pen. So we had people there for safety. My stall cleaners, like, you know, students really wanted to get involved. So we wrote an IACUC protocol, but it was hard to kind of design it because there were so many questions we wanted to answer. And with any research study, you can only answer one question at a time. And so this is what we came up with. And it, no study's perfect, you know, and since then other people have published research that have kind of added onto that question or they've addressed it from different angles. And I think that's an awesome addition. So this was just like a shot in the dark. We don't have anything to start with. There's no hypothesis to start from. So the first thing we said was, well, what could be an average, you know?
Okay, so they can go to the article to read all the details about how you did this study, and I'll post a link to it in the show notes, but we got to get to the bottom line. What was the minimum square footage?
Well, we're scientists, so we just started with looking at flight zones. So we randomly paired the horses to develop a flight zone, and then we did -2 standard. So the flight zone was we parked one horse, no restraint, in the middle of an open arena, standard size arena with a pile of hay, and we walked another horse towards it. And the instant the horse at the hay pile showed either an aggressive sign, so maybe they're more dominant horse, or they walked, they lifted a foot to walk away from the hay pile, we marked that distance.
Mm, okay.
So it's the sign at which they show towards an approaching horse. Huh?
You're in my space.
You're in my space. Yeah. When they indicated you're entering my space. That's their flight zone.
Got it. So, So it was interesting because you guys in the end did come up with kind of a minimum square footage of what each horse needs. And when I took a look at what the square I mean, you did it in meters, I think. But when I took a look at it, and thanks to AI, did the comparison, it ended up being about a tennis court and a half.
It's huge.
Yeah, is what each horse would need without them getting irritated with the other horses. So if you had two tennis courts and had four horses out, there's going to be irritation and problems, is kind of what you found.
Yeah. And but I think I would say it probably is kind of scales, not exponentially, but like, I'm not good with geometry. It probably flatlines. Like, it's probably a plateau effect, you know, like, as you kind of, my hypothesis would be like, as it's not linear with the number of horses.
Right. So as you
have,
get much bigger space, than more horses or less horses?
I would guess that as you get more horses, you probably don't need quite as much space per horse, because you do have those buddies. You know, you do, you are going to find, as horse people, you know, you do have those horses that love to be next to each other. So that would be my hypothesis. And I would love to see somebody test that hypothesis.
Okay. And then the other thing too, is these horses all knew each other. Obviously, if you put a new horse into the mix, it all changes for at least a week.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's interesting you talked about the flight zone, because I have a situation where we talked about earlier, Glenn, where I have a lot of horses here and not enough stalls. So I'm having to feed them in the field. And I was just remembering how I did that just yesterday with you talking about the flight zone. So I put the feed down for one. And the flight zone, I guess, would be how far away I have to put Craigslist Carl's feed bucket before the other horse will quit trying to go get it. You know,
Craigslist so Carl, I love it.
So I've got this thoroughbred out there, and he's like, "All of that's mine." And it's like I hit the distance where he's like, "Never mind, you're too far away."
Yeah,
so that's I guess what you're talking about, the flight distance as far as like. Poor Carl. He's half mile away at this point.
Yes. And every horse is different, you know, and keep in mind, like, these are equitation horses, you know, so they're riding horses, they're lesson ponies, they're used to these other horses being in their space. And that's probably going to be completely different if you have horses that aren't ridden, handled on a daily basis, or, you know, just different jobs.
Speaking of feeding, did you notice it? Were you able to test, obviously, if they're just out together and it's not feeding time, right? It's not grain time. They have hay and they all have hay and they're all happy eating whatever hay they want out of the round bale or whatever. I assume then it's a completely different story about how much space they do need at feeding time, as what Jamie was talking about.
Right. So when we tested them for in the paddock at those different sizes, and I will say the small size paddock felt small. Felt small. And we had one bucket of hay in the middle to kind of simulate like they would have a round pen. So we had like a, you know, like a pile of hay in the middle. The horses just moved constantly. Like, it was a never ending shuffle of like moving feet and trying to get a bite of hay, and kind of there was agonistic behaviors all the time. And one horse, and I can still remember, because there was one horse that was very, very low in the pecking order. He basically just walked the perimeter the whole time. And I felt so bad for him, because he would stop at the gate and he would call for a friend that was in the barn, you know, and then he'd walk like another circle. And it was obviously like, this is pretty stressful. So there was no calm.
Although he was probably
settling.
Lean and fit. Looked
he
good.
Was very lean and fit. Yeah. He would have stayed that way. So. Yeah, but once we moved them to the large pen, they just slept for like the entire time.
You know, it's funny you talk about you. It felt small, that particular area felt small. Yeah. Don't we all have this as horse people? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But when I walk into an area that has a number of horses, you know what feels small, because you're uncomfortable, right?
Yes.
You're going, I'm going to get hurt in here with this number of horses in this space. Yet when I walk into a field that has enough space, even if they're all coming together around you, you feel like there's an out. For
your flight distance.
Yeah, right.
Your flight distance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we had to stop at 15 minutes in to pull a blood sample, and it didn't feel like 100% safe at that 15 minute mark in the small pen pulling that blood sample. You know, like, we all went in and caught a horse, but they're all agitated, you know, and in the large pen, they're all asleep. You know, you just walk up to them and pull a blood sample, and it was no big deal. So
in a way, you can use your gut too. What's your gut telling you about how comfortable you are, right?
Yes.
Yeah. This is very interesting. And so basically what it comes down to is a tennis court and a half is what you should have for a horse. I had to relate it to something I could visualize.
Yes.
Meters didn't do it for me. So,
well, I do the same thing with acres. And I tell my students, an acre is roughly a football field. It's a little short of a football field. And if you're going to feed a horse for a year and not manage your pasture, you need 10 of those for a horse.
I never knew it was that size. I never put that together.
And so the students are always shocked. And I'm like, so if you don't want to mow and you don't want to, you know, drag and you don't want to spray for weeds or hand pull weeds or whatever method of weed management, you don't want to rotate, you need 10 football fields for a horse. Wow. And they're always like, oh gosh, okay, I guess I'm going to get on the track. It's a lot. It is so much room. It is so much room. They just, they're big animals, you know.
You're violating that this week coming up, Jamie. You're violated that rule.
Definitely.
Well, thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it, Dr. Bedore. I'm going to keep an eye out for another article from you. This has been fascinating.
We just got to see what my students come up with next.
Okay. Well, whatever they come up with, let me know and we'll have you back on, okay?
I will do.
Where do they find you? Just go to Virginia Tech at School of Animal Sciences?
Yep, that's okay. It. Yeah, and they can email me any questions they want. We'll come up with something crazy.
Okay.
We'll do it.
Sounds good. Thanks a bunch.
As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care or their purchase or their sale. Whatever. Routine and unexpected expenses can quickly add up, making it hard to keep pace. Wouldn't it feel great to always be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage these costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can give you that financial peace of mind. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you can get the care your horse needs and then pay over time in easy monthly payments. You can use Care Credit at the more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals that accept the card, and use it to pay for everything from diagnostics and surgery to wellness exams and routine care. Care Credit, it's your card for a lifetime of care, subject to credit approval. To learn more and apply, visit carecredit.com/vetmed.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. But tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads. And not only that, it's time to give our prize away for the month. So we're going to have a lucky winner here in just a minute. And we do Really Bad Ads. That's the time of the week when listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. I loved how the doctor thought it was very funny, Craigslist Carl. It does have a ring to it.
It does. You're to be fair, really good at naming horses. I mean, we came up with Carl, and you were like, it's Craigslist Carl. Craigslist I remember... Carl. I wanted to name him Taco, and you're like, Taco Tuesday. So, like, you're really good.
Chocolate flu. the following products that we do give away are provided by HorseLoversWithAZ.com, home to over 120,000 products for your barn, your horse, and you. Check them out at HorseLoversWithAZ.com. And we are giving away the Abeta Fridge Saddlebag we've been talking about. It's a $96 item. And well, the way we do this is everybody that submitted an ad gets put on a spreadsheet. If you recorded it, you get two entries on the spreadsheet. And if you recorded it in an accent other than your own, you get three entries on the spreadsheet. And we take that spreadsheet and Jamie picks a number and we have a winner. So you're going to pick between 1 and 236.
236. I'm going to go with 4.
4. Patty Puff is the winner this month. Patty, I know, submits all the time. Congratulations, Patty.
Woo!
Good job. And I'll be getting in touch with you for your address to send that out to. But congratulations on winning that. And thanks to Abetta and also to horselovers.com for the prizes. We don't have time to get to all the ads every month.
I realize some of these names sent links and not screenshots. So remember, you guys, if you send a Facebook link, a Facebook ad, you have to take a screenshot and email it to Jennifer, because sometimes by the time she clicks through to the link, it's gone.
Or it's a page that she doesn't belong to and she's not joining every for sale page across the country. So
I would be bad for your marriage if she did. So,
yes. So go ahead.
Faye, Jack, Jane, and Sandy, you guys are all in it. Now, Lorreen sent the first one in, and God love her. She always sends it in. She records it herself. Let's hear it.
All right, Lorreen.
Hi, good morning. It's Lorreen Barden, and I'm going to read a really bad ad. And this ad is titled, For Sale, 6-Year-Old Mustang, Massive Potential, Great Winter Project, $2,500. And then there's a picture of a beautiful black horse, really pretty. Here's your chance to own a stunning 6-Year-Old Mustang mare with a personality as big as her potential. She's bold, beautiful, and bursting with energy. Definitely not a beginner horse, but a true gem for an experienced rider who knows how to channel her fire. In other words, they can't handle her.
She's just insane.
She's been in professional training for the past 6 months.
Oh, Lord.
And she's still on fire. And the progress she's made shows just how much she can achieve. We're asking $2,500, which covers what we've invested in her training so far. That hasn't worked. The reason we're selling, we love her, but we simply don't have the time she deserves. This mare is healthy, strong, and full of untapped talent.
And untapped fire, too.
Which, with the right rider, she could thrive in multiple disciplines and become a truly unforgettable partner. Yeah. Serious buyers only if you're ready for a challenge and a horse that will reward your skill and dedication.
So you can sit in the $4.
This Mustang is waiting for you. So if we're all marching towards death, if you want to march a little quicker, go get your Mustang. Thanks for listening. Bye.
I love it. First of all, number one, that is her accent. She doesn't get 3 points. But I love that her and her daughter read really bad ads while they're driving.
Yes,
like, it's so fun.
Thank you for that, Lorreen. Appreciate it.
Marching faster. Amanda sent the next one in.
That's the line of the day right there.
There it is. Amanda sent this one in. This is from Quality Horses, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. Like I said, I think we have one every week from that page. This one is, boy, it is really descriptive. So hold tight. Paint mare. Dead broke sea. Quater. Like 15 hands, 13 years. These are all different lines. So like, I'm not just reading slowly. Like it's the next line. Easy to load. Easy to catch with a K. K-E-T-C-H. Gotta catch them. Do you know what? That's South Carolina probably for you there. Easy to catch them. Best offer. Trade offer. Oh, so anything to get rid of this dead, broke, quater, catchable mare. Good luck.
Good luck. And they didn't say what they wanted to trade with, but I'm sure guns is on the list. It's got to be, right?
It's always for four-wheelers or guns.
Guns. Kaylee sent this one in. This is Saving Grace Animal Rescue. Oh, we've had them before. They always have some good ones. This is Stray Pube.
It's a picture of a dog, by the way.
Yes. It says pube, P-U-B-E. This is Stray Pube. I think her foster calls her Cheryl. I'm glad, actually. But whatever. So Pube came to the shelter as a stray, completely emaciated and matted to the skin. She got a nice shave down with one of those Venus razors and has been eating like she was at one of those cheap seafood buffets with the crab legs. Just kidding. She is actually a grazer, which has made it hard for her to gain weight back. She is annoyingly friendly and sticks to you like a never mind.
Like a stray pube.
She has done well with cats and dogs and other older children, and I think she might weigh in at like a whopping 9 pounds. She is a happy, yappy little dog with a soft, curly coat, and she will need professional grooming. If you think she's the girl for you, just head to our website and send us an app.
There oh my go. God, this dog. I was wondering why her hair looked like that. Like
terrible.
She's this black, fluffy, poodle looking tiny thing, but like her front legs are almost shaved and she's got this super fuzzy head. Stray pube. That's a fantastic name. All right, Jolynn. I hope so. Jolynn has the next one, and this is Grey Mare 2000 is the title. This mare, oh God, and there's no punctuation. I'm too sick for this. Hold on.
You want me to do it?
I can do it. This mare of Made of Dreams, she's tall and fast, very mellow and kind. She is a little underweight, but comes with her grain. She has had a lot of ride and great smooth ride, walk, trot, loping. She's stand about 16. Hands, she is 7 year old with a little bit of work. She could make someone a really nice horse.
So much bad in that one.
I don't know. I don't even know what I read. I don't know what I read.
That's the problem with no punctuation, is it kind of all just goes together and lumps into one big lump. You know, I just saw the same thing we see on every one of these ads is this will make a really nice horse for someone else, just not for me. Hasn't been really nice for me at all. It sucks for me, but it'll be great for you.
The person who knows how to train it, it's going to be much, much better for you.
Yes, much better than me because I sucked at it.
Patty. I did see an ad, by the way, just the other day, and it was for I should have saved it. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was an ad for a thoroughbred mare, and they were like, really, really honest. And we're like, she's super buddy sour and she's just awful to be around. She'll run you over and this whole thing. And we're asking for the money we put in her. She's for sale for $3,000. And I was like, you literally just describe how she could kill you.
Yes.
And then, but you want your money back. Yes. I don't think that's how that works.
No, you did nothing to the horse to improve it. So
take a loss.
Yeah. Patty sent this one. It's our trailer of the week. It's a single horse trailer for $300. And I'll read the ad and then describe it. Homemade single horse trailer needs new axle. Axle is ceased. Ceased.
What is that? It's not there.
And a little TLC. You will need to get a title made for it. We got it on trade. Selling due to the fact that we don't need it. It's sitting around in our way. Heavily built, 300, no trades, cash only. This is one of the two horse round fronted trailer that's completely rusted. But the thing about this one is the reason the axle is ceased.
It's a one horse round front.
Oh, you're right. It is a one horse. But the reason the axle is ceased is because it's completely buried in the ground. You can't even see the axle. I don't know how they know it's ceased because you would have to dig it out to find it. The wheel is completely buried in the ground. This has been sitting a very long time.
Yeah, you know what? They said they got it on a trade. What did you trade 47 years ago?
1970.
That was a bad trade.
It probably wasn't rusty then.
Oh my God. It is like rust. It's just rust color.
Yep.
That's just
you're going to need everywhere. A backhoe to get it out. So bring that along when you go to pick up your trailer.
And a hepatitis and tetanus.
Lord. It is so buried. I don't know how it did that.
Okay, the next one comes from Jeanette. Paint gelding. Apache is a friendly gelding that is about 100 years old. He does not have papers. He makes funny noises at both ends when he trots. Apache needs to wear shoes on all four of his formerly foundered feet, and his stunning brown face is beginning to turn... well, let's just call it roan. He is 12 hands and too small for adults to ride. However, a few major perks. Apache loves kids. He loves it when they pat him with the force of a featherweight boxer. He is nonplussed when they giggle so hard they spit out their Cheerios on the ground. He loves to eat Cheerios off the ground. He is happy to hold his formerly foundered feet up for extended periods while tiny hands scrape like crazy with a hoof pick at non-existent dirt in his feet. Apache even loves to walk at a snail's pace while small humans alternately wiggle like worms and clutch like Velcro to his back. Apache's current group of kids have moved on to bigger things, i.e. horses, so he is in search of a new tribe. If you have a tribe of tiny tots in search of the perfect pony, give me a call. Okay.
You missed important thing. How much Apache. Do you think this is? Now remember, he's Apache's 100. A little troublesome.
He's foundered in all 4 feet. He's 100 years old. He's 12 hands. You can't really ride him.
And he's
I would
a pony,
say
12 hands tall.
12 hands, 100 years old. I would say they're looking for a good home.
Yeah, except they're asking $4,000.
What?
$4,000.
Oh, my God. I didn't even read that in the article. Pink gelding, $4,000? That $3,000 thoroughbred that'll kill you sounds like a deal.
This is a $4,000 pony that'll kill you. No, he's very nice with kids. They didn't say anything about adults, but very good with kids. As long
as
you have Cheerios.
I didn't even pay that much for Craigslist, Carl, or Maverick put together.
Renee sent the following one. Okay, no punctuation, but it's very strange. Philly part Welsh Hackney Halflinger paint mixed cob side pony weanling totally correct sound ready to wean now. $4,200 for a weanling. Let me go over this again. It's a Philly part Welsh Hackney Halflinger paint mixed cob.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. But then it says cob side pony weanling. Wait a minute.
What's a cob
Philly
side pony?
Part Welsh Hackney Halflinger paint mixed cob side pony.
I got to Google cob side pony because sometimes we learn things.
I have no idea. That's a lot of things going on.
AI told me what a cob side pony is. Okay. Likely refers to either a cob type pony or a side ponytail hairstyle.
Well, this one's the hair is not long enough to have a ponytail. So,
my God.
Kind of looks like Butters, though, in a way. Kind of a little Butters looking there.
Oh, well, I don't know because the photo's so blurry.
Did you pay $4,200 for Butters?
I paid a whopping $300 for Butters.
It's probably a better price than this one. Although, this
I told
one...
you that Chad and I did the math, and all my horses together combined do not cost the price of his motorcycle.
To buy them. Now, care is a different story. Altogether.
Let's not go there. We're going to purchase price.
This one, though, because you're actually buying a Welsh Hackney Halflinger paint, you're buying four things in one. So that's probably why the price is $4,200. It's four things.
That makes
in
sense.
One.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good call. Or it's a side ponytail. Aaron sent this one in, anything and everything with Morgan horses. That's a new Facebook page we haven't seen before.
We haven't had that one before.
Trading AQH mare for Morgan mare. If you're looking... No, nobody's looking for this. If you're looking for a hot-headed mare or project horse for the winter, why are people trying to give away project horses for the winter? This is like the fourth one. If you're looking for a project horse for the winter that is flashy, look no further. This is Victoria Older Mare. Likely 17 or 18, she'll canter, is said to rye and barrel race. She has done... No, there's no punctuation. She has done 4-lowercase h, but will need an experienced owner/rider. As she tends to act up if it's not her way. I am just being honest here.
Well, we appreciate that.
Thayer could be a chance she's in full. Oh,
oh
God.
My God. She's 18. She just accidentally got in full. You know, we don't know
so,
how.
Sire could be a chance she's in full to a champion reining stallion blue. Slick fish cat. If she knows, that is a quarter horse name for it. Slick fish cat.
It's a Blue Rona too, apparently.
I mean, that's what I'm naming Butter, Slick Fish Cat. If she knows who's boss, she will Ryan. What does that mean?
Rain?
R-I-E-N.
Rain?
Maybe it's rain spelled wrong. I don't know. This is the third time.
Such is she. That doesn't even make any sense.
If she knows who's boss, she will Ryan and such. She is traffic safe.
Okay.
She's traffic safe
when you're riding her. But they already said that she's not safe to ride her. And now they're saying you can ride her in traffic. She'd be perfectly fine. It's just everywhere else she's going to kill you.
P.S. She's hot-headed, 18, and pregnant.
Yes.
I'm looking for a more calm and younger horse.
The
reason I'm getting rid of her is just simply because I like Morgans better.
Okay.
But I can't have both.
So let's get this right. This person went on a Morgan Facebook page to trade her crappy quarter horse for a nice Morgan. That's exactly what she did. I guarantee she got no takers. No,
I mean, seriously. Okay, Aaron, I want you to go back to that page and see if there's any reasonable comments that would lead to somebody being interested.
One. Yeah.
Because, oh my God, what? Okay, she's 18. What's with the winter project? Do I need to get a winter project, Glenn? Do we all need winter projects?
I think you have your own built-in winter projects. I think you're good there. But, you know, what they're really saying, Jamie, is we don't want to feed this horse over winter. So it becomes your project. See,
yes.
That's what
and
saying.
By the way, she could maybe be pregnant. Would you please give me your well-trained younger gelding that is like super quiet for this hot-headed 18-year-old pregnant quarter horse mare?
It will kill you.
Oh, you guys, that was good.
You know, these ads all had a theme today. They were all marching toward death.
I know.
And it's your death, not the horse's death. It's your death.
You're going to march a lot quicker today.
You know, we're
today.
Not supposed to talk about death on Fridays, but we did a lot of that today. So, I don't know.
God bless him.
Yeah, it just happened. These were your ads. We didn't submit them. Thank you, everybody, for submitting them, though. You can send your next batch in to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Auditors, hold on. We're going to do a show. We're going to do a post show for you talking about phobias, because I did ask the auditors what their phobias were, and I have some of the most common phobias and some of the weirdest phobias. So let's talk that in the post show. See everybody. Have a safe weekend.
All right, everybody. See you in a couple weeks. Spay, neuter, geld. But again, next week, still all new shows Monday, Wednesday.